idea of an adulterer. When you read the scriptures, an adulterer is associated oftentimes with prostitution. And so this wording is used as a way to describe the unfaithfulness of those who claim to belong to God. We looked at this passage last week in Jeremiah 3, 6 through 9, and notice what he's saying here. This is God through Jeremiah speaking to the Israelite people about their unfaithfulness. Okay? And again, notice how God looks upon it. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, "Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there." All right? I thought that after she had done all of this, she would return to me, but she did not, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. Okay? I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. So we need to make sure we understand here, again, from God's perspective, we're talking about those who claim to believe in Him, those who are His people, who are being unfaithful. Now, how are they being unfaithful?
They left God's word.
Worshipping idols. That's why that last statement there, committed adultery with stone and wood, is so important, because that's a reference to the idols that the people were worshiping. All right? So again, in order to really understand this, you've got to look at it from God's perspective. How does God see, in other words, those who say they belong to Him, okay, call themselves His followers, but yet are not following Him? He sees them, that unfaithfulness, okay, and that's really, I think, the best way to look at it, that you understand, we're talking about unfaithfulness. God looks at that as being adultery, okay? If you think about a marriage, and you have one partner who went and had, you know, committed adultery, they had fornication with someone. Jesus refers to that in Matthew, right, when he's asked about divorce. He says, except it be for fornication, okay, that you cannot divorce your spouse, all right? So they, and we look at that, someone has committed fornication, they've had sexual relations with someone outside of their marriage, that's fornication, okay? We call that what? They have been unfaithful, thank you. You see? They've been unfaithful. Unfaithful to what? To their marriage, to the relationship, to their spouse. But the key issue there in the word is unfaithfulness. Okay? So we understand that from that perspective. We need to know that's how God looks upon it. That's how He looks upon the relationship that we enter into with Him, okay, as believers, and then become unfaithful. Okay. He looks upon that as being adulterous. That's why we saw earlier in our study, okay, one of the letters to one of the seven churches, he talked about that church had done what? Left its first love. Okay? And that should emphasize to us, that, again, another thing that we talk about over and over and over again in here, is the whole idea of relationship with God. That's what He wants with us. Why does God consider it adulterous? Because you're being unfaithful to the relationship with Him. Okay? So we look at this part here and this woman, then we can better understand it. He's going to make it clear to us. We'll talk about it at the end of this chapter. he clearly identifies, who is this woman? What does this woman represent? This harlot.
Government?
Not just government, but another aspect is even more insidious as far as I'm concerned.
World power?
Keep in mind, we're talking about those who are unfaithful.
Religion. Worldly religion.
Religion. Okay? False religion. Okay? Those who, remember, I think we talked about this again last week. I mentioned this. Go back to, and that's why that passage, that part of the study was so important. Go back to the measuring of the temple and the altar. Okay? What did those represent? The believers, but that also do not measure what?
The outer court.
What did the outer court represent? Yeah, those who looked like they were Christians, they claimed to be Christians, but they weren't real Christians. Okay? Keep that part in mind, and that helps you to understand this, that in other words, God is saying those who are not faithful, those who look like it, that they talk like it, and they look like it, but they're not really living it, they don't really belong to me. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who?
Those
who do the will of the Father in heaven. Okay? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. What does that mean? They're calling him their Lord. They're saying, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. Have we not done many miracles in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name do many wonderful works. So he's not talking about the worldly people here. He's talking about those who claim to belong to him. And his response to them will be what? Depart from me, I never knew you. So you see, the Bible makes this big distinction here between not just the world, the unbelievers of the world, but it also makes a very clear distinction between those who are true believers in Christ and those who simply claim to be but are not following God's law, are not living the way God wants them to. So when you understand that, you look at what's going on here. All right. Then you talk about, you mentioned the government, and we've been looking at the beast and so forth, and the different aspects of all this represents the powers that be in the government and so forth. So what we have happening here is, and we're seeing the influence of those who are unfaithful to God, who claim to be, in other words, false religion, their influence over the government and over the rest of the world. Notice that that it says here, this person, this woman, with whom the kings of the earth, who's that referring to?
The leaders
of the world, the government powers, right? These kings of the earth have committed fornication with this woman. So what is that telling us? What's that symbolism mean? The influence of the false religion over world powers. Has that happened in the world?
Oh, yeah.
You better believe it. You say, absolutely it has. Why do we have, if you have any doubt about that, why do, the Vatican, okay, Vatican City. Anybody know anything about the government of Vatican City? Yeah, it's run by the Pope, but what does it have to do in terms of government and so forth?
It's a state.
Yeah, it is its own state. Okay? Its own state. Has its own embassies. It is the Vatican, which represents the Roman Catholic Church, has tremendous influence throughout the world. Not just with Catholics, but throughout the world. Why do you think every time the Pope goes somewhere in the world, it's televised all over TV and everything the Pope does is in the news? Okay? because of that influence that he has, that office has. And so that's what we're seeing happening here. It is the combination and the mixture, the influence of false religion, those who say they belong to God, but are leading the world astray.
And I think it's not only, you know, in today's day, a lot of monarchs were led by religious, through through history.
Yeah, it's been going on throughout history, okay? At least, at the very least, it's been going on, you know, since the rise of the Roman Catholic Church. We saw back earlier in our history of Christianity, when the Roman Catholic Church became the recognized Christian religion, you know, that was because of its influence in over world powers. Mm-hmm. See? Now, just stop and think about it. Let's not just pick on Catholics, okay? Let's talk about anybody's false religions, okay? You know, we look at the stuff that's going on here in America, but throughout the world even more, you know, concerning, you know, the gay marriage issue and all of those kinds of things. Why do you suppose that is so prevalent today, where 10 years ago, you know, we weren't anywhere close to where we are right now? Why do you suppose that is? Yeah. Because many churches, many religions have accepted the gay issue as being normal. And anybody who doesn't is not being a very good Christian. Because what? God loves everybody and all that kind of stuff, and he loves the gays too. Does God love the gays too?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But they're disobedient to him, and if they don't change, if they don't repent, they're going to be condemned, okay? But that's not the message that many of these influential religions are putting out there. And so gradually what's happening is more and more people, okay, have become accepting to those kinds of things that are just blatantly against God's will. And that is influencing government decisions and government policies and even laws, such that the Supreme Court of the United States, was it 2 years ago, ruled that, you know, gay marriage was okay. I submit to you that never would have happened had Christians been true Christians and had stood together on God's law. See? But that's an example of what this is really talking about. How false religion is able to influence what's going on in the world. Because it accepts more and more, you know, of worldlyism and just goes along with it. And so it just becomes those who are opposed to it, which would be who? Who are the ones who would be, do what? True Christians, okay? That number is smaller and smaller and smaller all the time. I saw a hand here a second ago. Charlotte?
But even us, Christians, we are beginning to accept some of this stuff,
exactly,
too, because I listen. And, you know, and they'll be like, well, there's no well. You know, you either for Christ, like you said, or you're against them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that we but you have to still stand on
ground.
You have to do it, Russ. And I see a lot of us Christians, we are not. Because we in that,
people aren't willing to take the slack for it.
They're not willing to stand your grounds, even if you have family members that might be gay or whatever they are doing. You have to stand your grounds. I love you, but I'm not going to accept this.
What you're doing is wrong, and that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And that's been you know, it's a gradual thing. It doesn't happen, you know, all overnight where somebody comes and says, here's what, and everybody goes, whoa, wait a minute. No, it's just a gradual thing. You start accepting one, then another, and then another, and another, and before you know it, you know, who would have thought 5 years ago we'd be where we are right now? You know, but it's been coming. And the thing that we have to be aware of is it's not going to stop here, okay? It's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And fewer Christians are going to stand up to it because the pressure. You've got people, and of course, you know, right now, I'm really waiting to see what the Supreme Court is going to decide on this one case that they've taken up about the baker, you know, that, you know, was punished for not baking a cake for a gay wedding. You know, what are they going to do with that? Are they going to rule in favor of the gays? If they do, then religious freedom in this country is over.
Yeah.
You may as well say it's done. If they withhold it and say, no, you can't make it, then, you know, there's a stand that people make. But you understand, my point with all this is, understand the influence that false religion has on government policy. If those within religion, especially in this country, Christianity, okay, I saw a survey report yesterday of a survey that was, let me see, it was 81%. 81% of people in America still claim to belong to some sort of Christianity. Okay? But yet you look at all the stuff that's going on. Okay? Take a look at this and again see why these things are happening. What are some of the favorite shows on television? Okay? Most watched shows on television. Some even that they have brought back or are bringing back. Okay? Because they're so popular. All right? AMC was just running a thing where they're bringing back Breaking Bad. Okay? Yeah. Most popular show on television. Okay, pardon me, but in a country where 81% of the people claim to be Christians, why is a show that glorifies making methamphetamines and selling other drugs and so forth so popular? You see where the problem is, folks? Charlotte, you mentioned a few moments ago the things we watch on TV. How accepting are we of those things? Why don't we turn that stuff off? Instead of sitting back and watching it and being entertained by it. 2.5 Men. One of the most popular shows on television. Why? Because those who claim to believe in God are not being faithful, many of them. And that is influencing the world. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Exactly. It's supposed to be the other way around. We as Christians are supposed to be what?
The light.
The light of the world. But instead, too many are like this harlot that are, you know, allowing and encouraging the world to live in darkness.
And
often
come to my house,
we
watch a lot of
Tutu. Thomas the Train, right? Chuck, did you have your hand up a moment ago?
Just think about Bruce Jenner being celebrated.
Yeah.
And in the room, you have people don't want to be the one to go against it.
Yeah.
And there's this whole wave, and that's everything's going that way. And that's why the women didn't speak out about the abuse. They knew that they'd get hit down, but one person stands up, the tide can shift.
Absolutely.
It takes courage to get the change.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm going to get on a soapbox a minute, okay? I may, you know, you may not like this, but, you know, I understand a lot of the workplace situations are different. But when you got these stars in Hollywood that are taking their clothes off for movies and getting in bed with guys for a movie and then turn around and complain because
come
the person
on.
Sexually harassed them, I do not feel sympathy for you.
And come on
okay?
With that. Come on with that one.
Okay? Don't whine and complain because the guy wants to keep going further, all right? Again, but what is that a sign of? the immorality that's going on. And how many of those very people, if you ask them, are you a Christian, would go, well, yeah. You see, again, the point being that that's what happens when we don't remain faithful to God. We start influencing the world in the wrong way. And that's what this part is representing. Don?
I think most people would say, I believe in Jesus. They're one of them.
Yes, exactly.
And that is
their They're not living.
So that 81% is just, yes, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
That comes from TV too, because all you do is put your hand on the TV and say, I believe.
Yeah.
And people are being fooled by that. So that's where most of that comes from.
They're being fooled by what? False religion. Mm-hmm. Because they're being told that's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. You say, and so if that's all I got to do, I don't have to change my life or anything. I just got to, you know, call on Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm saved, and everything's okay. So there's no wonder why there's so much false religion. But again, I think when we're looking at this section here, the thing we've got to understand is that this harlot represents the influence of this false religion on the world. Okay? World governments, world policy, and then, you know, people in the world. Yeah, everything. You see? So, again, that's why this terminology is being used as it is. That John is being told to write these kind of things down because of the seriousness of that. When you're not living the way that you're supposed to be in Christ and you're claiming to, you're doing a lot of damage. Go back to, again, earlier in our study, Jesus talked about the one church being hot or cold. He said, I want you to be not lukewarm. Why? Because lukewarm Christians do a lot of damage. Exactly. You see? So again, understand this section, as we're looking at it in that way, that it's focusing on that kind of an influence and the damage that false religion does. Okay? So, we continue on. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. All right? Now, upon her forehead, a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. So, what are we seeing here in this part? What's taking place? Babylon is mentioned here, and we've talked about this several times. What does Babylon represent? Not just world power, but world power that is
influenced by false religion,
wicked and evil of every kind. Okay? When you talk about Babylon, when Babylon is mentioned, that's what it represents. Okay? Babylon is a nation that conquered the Israelites. Okay? And in that conquering and in its existence, Babylon represented, even to the people of its day, all kinds of evil and bad and everything else. So Babylon, what it's referred to, okay, basically that's what it represents. I don't know if it was worse, but it was just as bad at least. Okay? You say, well, why didn't God destroy it? Well, it wasn't his purpose at that time. Okay? But yes, Babylon that's what it represents, is all of the evil and wickedness and everything that you can think of, represented by the city of Babylon.
This is totally evil.
Yes. Yeah. But it was a world power. Okay, so you put those two symbolisms together, and you look at the influence of world power and the evil in the world. And this woman here her name is what? Babylon the Great. So again, that symbolism is that combination of the harlot, that false religion, combined with world power and all the evil that ensues because of it. So much so that it is responsible for the destruction, the blood of many of the saints. Okay? The woman drunken, it says, with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So that idea, that concept of being drunk is what? When somebody, we look at their drunk, they are what? They've had an excess. Okay? They've had an excess of, you know, alcohol. Okay? Well, you know, in other words, and again, you look at these things, I'll keep reminding you of this, think of it in terms of the symbolism that these words represent, okay? It's excess rather than something that just casually happened, okay? Same way we look at somebody that just takes one drink, are they necessarily a drunkard? No, they just had a drink, okay? That's not in excess, all right? So this is not something that's casual. In other words, the persecution of Christians and so forth is not a casual thing on the part of those in this category. It is in excess. All right?
To the point where it's so full of it that it spills over to other people.
Right, and they are out of control. All right, so. Again, look at the wording like that. You talk about, you look at somebody that's drunk, you know, that does that not describe that kind of a person? Mm-hmm. You know, they're totally out of control. Right? And that's what the state of things will be at when these events begin to take place. Okay? And we're getting there. All right. Now, who is this woman? We continue looking at trying to identify her. Well, again, keeping with what we've been saying all along, you have people today that are trying to, you know, pinpoint and plug in certain people and events and so forth, say, oh, this is what it represents. You got those today that say, well, Katy Perry, you know, she's the woman on the beach. She even at some... Was it the Super Bowl last year? Is that what it was? Whatever, that this was her thing. And when she came out on that, people just jumped all over that and said, oh, there it is right there. There it is. That's the beast. That's the woman on the beast right there. You see? And start, you know, predicting and take out the signs and say, you know, the end is near. Here it is. See, there's the woman on the beast. Again, I point that out to you just to show you how people will take and they're trying to pinpoint and to be able to figure out, you know, who is this and when's it going to happen so I know. Quit worrying about that, okay? As we've been saying all along, you're ready all the time, doesn't matter when it happens, right? Okay. It goes on to say, verses 9 through 11, this calls for a mind with wisdom, okay? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. Okay, some of you looking at that and going, okay, we can figure out that riddle. Okay, what? Eight kings, all right, depending on your translation. The issue then becomes, how do we figure this riddle out? What's the key to it? Somebody help me out here. I'm looking for one word.
Symbolic.
Symbolic. Okay, so look at the symbolism that's here. You've got seven heads are seven mountains. Okay, on which the woman is seated, they are also seven kings. All right, what does seven represent? Completeness. Okay, now again, you've got folks that are looking at the seven hills that surround Rome. And we'll say that's what it's talking about, is those seven physical hills that surround Rome. And this is all about Rome and what's going to... Forget that, okay? Forget that. It's symbolism. Seven represents completeness, so it's not intended to be a literal number. It represents what? Hills represent what? Symbolism of hills. And mountains, what do they represent? Power and authority. Okay? If you're in a battle with someone, okay, your army against theirs, where do you want to be? You want to be on the high ground, right? Okay? Hills and mountains represent power. All right? So you've got, you know, and of course, kings represent power, right? So it's this woman who is representing how much power?
Complete power.
Okay? Whatever the powers to be are at any given time in history. Okay? The seven hills in the first century, do those Christians first reading this, probably did influence them a lot to think, well, it's talking about the Roman Empire. Why?
Because
that was the power at the time. Okay? But we think about that today and go, okay, so what's the point of that for you and I today? It means nothing, okay? Means absolutely nothing. So, again, if you look at it, trying to look at it literally, you can go all kinds of places with this. But if you understand it symbolically, you understand the putting together, again, of false religion, okay, with all the world powers. In other words, the idea here is, how widespread is this going to be? It's going to be everywhere, throughout the world. Okay? Throughout the world, everywhere. Not just an isolated part of the world, it's going to be everywhere. Alright? So, you know, when you look at it that way, then it's easier to understand the riddle, isn't it? Okay? If you try to look at it literally, then it's not going to make any sense. Think about it this way. Those Christians that are right now, currently, and living in countries within the Middle East that are primarily Muslim countries, what's happening to them? Yeah, they are literally being killed because of their Christian belief. All right? Now, do you think for a minute that those people in their circumstance and situation right now, that they're looking upon that situation and they're blaming Hitler or pointing to Hitler as being the beast or Stalin or, you know, for those who didn't like Obama to say it was Obama because he certainly was characterized as the Antichrist, or for those today who don't like Trump to say, oh, it's Trump, he's the one. You know, those folks over in the Middle East aren't looking at it that way. They're not, they don't care about what's going on here in America that way. Okay? What they're looking at is the false religion, which is Islam, that is persecuting them. That's how they see it. You see? They don't care about the politics here in America in terms of, you know, who's running things and what's being done. On a daily basis in their lives, their life is threatened, literally, by a false religion. You see? And that's the kind of thing that this is focusing on. All right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Everybody understand that? Any questions there at all? So, you know, again, my point is, you know, when people start trying to plug somebody or some event or what have you into these things, say, that's who it represents. Walk away, because that's somebody that either, one, doesn't know what they're talking about, or number two, they're a false teacher. Okay? So they don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to take something that is symbolism and trying to make it literal. Now, and we keep saying that, but now, when all this begins to take place and then starts really unfolding, I mean, it's already taking place, But when all this destruction begins really to take place, is it going to be literal destruction? Yes. Yeah, it's going to actually take place, okay? But the difference is, at that time, everybody will know, okay, what's going on. All right? We won't have to wonder anymore. Who's this talking about? You know, is it getting near? It'll be happening. And you're going to be either one place or the other. All right? So that's how you have to look and understand these things, okay? Because it doesn't refer to Katy Perry or any of these other people. All right? Any other thoughts or comments or questions on that at all? There's going to be these, you know, we've got down at the bottom of this thing, let's see, when one is, the other has not yet come, and when he does come, he must remain only a little while. Okay, as for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seventh, and it goes to destruction. What is that part really all about? It was, or when it comes, it must remain only a little while. And so what is that part of this riddle, so to speak, talking about here? Like symbolism. I think the opposite. Okay? The kings, again, we're talking about, they represent what? The world powers and so forth, and they're in alignment with the woman. Okay, so we're talking about evil here, right? And the influence of evil. All right, and that has been going on. All right, there's going to be, apparently, at some point in this where it's only one is going to come, and it's only going to be for a little while. In other words, it's going to be short-lived. There will be, apparently, some kind of a reprieve from persecution. All right? But it's only going to be short-lived. Now, how short, someone says. I don't know. You know? In God's time, which is when this starts to happen, in God's time is different from our time, okay? A day is like what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day, okay? So can we put a time limit on that?
No.
The answer is no, you cannot. Who knows? But again, the symbolism is when it says a little while represents a short time, okay? Any thoughts or questions, comments there?
What did the mountains represent again?
Power. Okay. Well, again, what this is talking about, remember in the last part we were looking at the Battle of Armageddon,
right.
You know, Megiddo and so forth. What this is really talking about is this destruction that is coming. Okay? And when it comes, it's going to be full and complete. Apparently, my understanding is there'll be, for some amount of time, some kind of temporary relief, okay? And then that destruction will come. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not exactly sure. But we're getting there. Things are bad.
It's going
to get worse. But in the end, victory is sure. You've got to remember that. Okay? So, we've got another couple of minutes here. Babylon the Great equals the enemy of God's people. Okay? You go back and you look in the Old Testament, there were, Babylon, what it represents is the enemy of God. Okay? Conquered God's people. Okay, and all of its wickedness and evil, so it represents symbolically all of that. Okay, God's enemy. All right, the mother of harlots gave birth to false religions. right? And then you add the abominations of the earth to all of that, and what you come out with is spiritual fornication. It is the influence, again, of false religion upon the world. And basically, if you think about it this way, the world, we typically look at the world as being those who are separated from God, right? Those who don't follow God, and we, you know, they're wicked, they're evil people, and so forth, all right? And you look at then the influence of false religion upon that that is already evil, okay? And it makes it what? Worse. And that's why what's going to happen to the woman is so bad. We're probably not going to get to that this morning, all right? I'm sorry. Oh, you're trying to write something? Oh, okay. God expects us not to hide ourselves away, but to be the light.
That's why we've got to be okay here and encourage one another so much.
Exactly.
To face that devil out.
Yeah, and that's why this is so important for us to be together, to come together to encourage one another, because, as we said earlier, that number is getting fewer and fewer,
yeah,
okay, of the faithful. And so, you know, we need to be encouraging one another and helping one another and so forth, because we're all we got.
We were just talking about this Friday at our class, you know, how important it is for us as Christians, not to be just Christians here. We need to stand firm out in the world. And it's going to get harder and harder to do that.
Yes, it is.
You know, and we need to be aware of this. And that, again, is why it's so important that we assemble ourselves as often as we can to give each other that courage,
yeah,
to do that.
Because, you know, as time goes on, the more you stand for the truth, the more chance you're going to have of being persecuted for it.
Exactly.
And all of that is what this is talking about. We shouldn't be surprised at that. Okay? Well, we need to just understand and expect that's going to happen. If you're going to be faithful to the Lord, you're going to be persecuted.
And don't be surprised if it comes from your own family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, that's probably where it's going to come from first.
Exactly.
All right, we're out of time. We'll pick up here next week, all right? Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Rob.